It's great to be with you all here tonight. Once again, if you're someone who came with a friend or family getting baptized, I just want to thank you and honor you for coming. It's so good to have you with us. Or if you're visiting for the first time, it's great to have you with us tonight. We're going to get straight into it tonight. We're going to read throughout a whole chapter. Well, we're going to reference different parts of a chapter of the Bible tonight. And that chapter is Exodus chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles here, if you want to get that ready to read along, otherwise it's going to be up on the screen as well. But if you would rather follow along in your Bibles, you can do that. Exodus chapter 14. But why don't we pray first? Father, we just thank you, God, that you are here in this place and you are moving. And Lord, yes, we want to be reminded of the good news of the gospel. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we wouldn't forget it. We wouldn't grow used to it, God. It wouldn't just become the normal, because it is not normal. It's amazing. It's incredible what you've done for us, God. And Lord, you are such a mighty God. And so I pray tonight, Lord, as we gather around your word, as we dive into your word, Lord, remind us how powerful you are. Remind us that you've never left our side. Remind us that no matter what we go through, God, you're working all things together. You're working all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so, God, we give you praise and glory in this place. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen, amen. Well, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation. Is anyone in here a little bit, just like maybe not fully claustrophobic, but like a normal amount of claustrophobic? I think like it's normal to just be like a little bit claustrophobic. I think if you like kind of being in tight places, then that is weird. That's the weird thing. But I don't know if you've ever been in a situation that felt claustrophobic or it felt like there was no way out. For some reason, two of the school camps that I went to growing up put me in situations like that. I don't know if they're trying to get me out of my comfort zone, help me grow or something like that. But I remember it was something like grade 8 camp, and we went. And for some reason, the camp that we went on had this kind of like rock structure that had some like tunnels and holes through it. And I don't know if anyone else has experienced something like this, but it seemed, yeah, that's right. We went probably on the same camp. And it kind of was torture. What they did is to these poor like 13-year-olds, what they got us to do is crawl through these tiny like rock tunnels, and then so what you do is you crawl through this little tunnel and then you're inside the rock. And I don't know if you know much about rocks, but they're hard to, you know, break out of. And so what happened was, you know, everyone's going through this and I'm not overly claustrophobic. I'm a normal amount of claustrophobic. And I crawled in, and as soon as I got in, I started to freak out, because these were not just like, it's not like you step through, like it's a tight squeeze. It's like those weird cave Instagram reels about the people who like to like get into the tunnels and like, it's so weird. But that's what I felt like in that moment. And I started to freak out because it felt like I was trapped. It felt like there was no way out. And then a similar camp in grade 12, not quite as crazy, but once again, I think they were trying to push us to our limits. In grade 12, we went on this camp, Eagle something. I don't know if anyone's been on that Eagle camp. And they got us to climb through, crawl through this tunnel that was like basically, like I'm not a small guy. And so like it was basically the size of me. And so we would have to just like inch ourselves forward. And once again, you know, going in was all right, but when I was in there and it felt like I was trapped and there was no way out, I started to freak out a little bit. And this is often something that we experience, not just in weird school camp experiences, but in life as well. In life as well. And we're not reading that scripture yet, guys. We can jump off that. That's all good. Thanks, team. But this can happen in life as well. When we get into situations where we feel like we're stuck, where we feel like there's no way out, fear starts to kick in. Maybe your fight or flight or freeze starts to kick in, and we start to question everything. We question why we're here in the first place. How did we get here in the first place? And all these kind of things happen. It's like an animal that gets cornered and starts to freak out will do some crazy things. When an animal feels like it's got no way out of the situation, that it's cornered, it starts to do some things that it wouldn't usually do. And we all face times in our life where we're in situations where it feels like we're cornered, it feels like there's no way out, it feels like all hope is lost, and that we don't even see God in this situation. Maybe it's a doctor's diagnosis where they tell you that what you have, there's no answer to, that they've got nothing, and that you just have to accept it, and this you've got to live with this, or maybe that, you know, it's terminal, and it's a diagnosis where it seems like there's no way out. Maybe it's, you know, you've been made redundant from your job, and there's bills to pay that week, and there is no way that you're going to be able to pay those bills. Maybe it's a family member that you've been praying for years and years that they would come to know God, and it just seems like there's no way. It's like, how is that going to happen? I've been praying for 20 years and it still hasn't happened. And we're in a situation where it seems like there is no way. But church, I have very good news for you tonight. All throughout the Bible, time and time again throughout history, we see God making a way where there seems to be no way. And it's still the same today. God is making a way where there is no way. Let me tell you, God has not abandoned you. God didn't lead you astray into this place. He is right here with you, and you are right where He wants you to be. And God will make a way. Come on, say that. God will make a way. God will make a way. No matter what you're facing, God will make a way. And this is not the end for you. Someone needs to hear that tonight. This will not be your end. What you're facing, this won't be your family's end, your marriage's end, your life's end. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Come on, can we just thank God for a moment that He is making a way all throughout the Bible, all throughout history, God makes a way. And I want you to be encouraged by that tonight. We're going to dive into this passage in a moment. But in this passage in Exodus 14, we see the Israelites who have been enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. And God uses Moses to ask Pharaoh to let His people go over and over again. And He keeps saying no. And then so He sends plagues. And then eventually Pharaoh says yes, that they can go. And this is where we're going to pick up in this passage, Exodus 14, verse 1-4. So let's read this together. It says, "Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi-Hahiroth." I practiced that. "Between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore, across the Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think, 'The Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord.' So the Israelites camped there as they were told." So let's just notice something about this. This is God giving Moses instructions. They're out now. They're out of slavery. So God's like, here's the next step. Here's the next instructions of what you're going to do. But notice what He doesn't do. He doesn't lay out the full plan. If you know this story, you know how it ends. You know that Moses lifts his staff and the Red Sea parts and they walk through. We know that's how it ends, but God doesn't give him the full plan right at the start. He doesn't say anything about splitting the Red Sea. He actually sends him into a tactically bad situation. You know, in our lives, what this often looks like is being in situations where we don't know the plan. I like knowing the plan. Does anyone else like knowing the plan? I find that as I get older, I more and more like knowing the plan. One of those moments for me is I got married a couple of years ago now, 2 years ago now, and that meant that I got married at 29. So what that meant was I went to lots of other parties and I was part of bridal parties, which also meant being part of Bucks parties and Bucks weekends and stuff like that. And so, you know, there's a wide range of Bucks weekends and Bucks parties I went to, all appropriate and all legal. But there was a very wide range. I know that there was one that I went to where the groom, the buck, got taped to a pole in a shopping center car park and got left there. And they weren't very happy about it, I don't think, from memory. And then I've been to other ones which were like really nice and like celebrating the guy and nothing bad really happened. And then I went to Hendrico's and yeah, so... But going into my Bucks weekend, my like my groomsmen and the guys that were going are all really good mates. And I knew, like, I could trust them, but there was still something in me because I didn't know the plan. And just also knowing my brother, like, he's just cheeky. Like, you know, he just don't know what was going to go on. And they were kind of like, he would like tease me with it and poke me like, oh, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. But, and I was nervous because I didn't know the plan. Even though I knew I could trust them, I was still nervous going into it. And it ended up being a great time and nothing too bad happened from memory, unless I just don't remember it. I might have blocked it out of my memory, but it was a really, really good time. But we like knowing the plan. The unfortunate thing is that God doesn't give us the full plan. He doesn't give us step 1 through 10. He only gives us step 1 and then step 2 and then step 3. And we need to learn in this to trust God. You know, in these instructions that God gives to Moses for the Israelites, he says, go to this place and set up camp. And then the next thing he says is that Pharaoh is then going to chase after you. Pharaoh is going to pursue you. And then I'll show my glory. If I was Moses, I would be saying, okay, God, yeah, but what about the Pharaoh thing? Like, what's going to happen there? Can you just give me a little bit more detail? Like, yes, you'll show your glory. Amen. But what's going to happen to the Egyptians that are chasing us down? But he doesn't say that. He just says, okay, God. And he just follows him and he trusts him. And so nothing God does is by accident. Nothing in the word of God is just in there for no reason. It's all in there. And in this moment, what we can take from this, what Moses did and what we can learn is in moments where it seems like it doesn't make sense, in moments where God is telling you to go somewhere that's just you're thinking, God, that is not the right idea. God, why would we set up camp with our back to the shore when the Egyptians are going to come and get us? That is tactically a bad spot to be. But in this moment, God is asking Moses to trust him. And in moments where you're not sure what's going on, you know, I catch up with people semi-regularly who are just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what God is, why he's taking me here. I don't know why God has sent me into this place. And in these moments, God is calling us to trust him. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend or do not lean on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Oh man, what a challenging verse. What a simple, it's actually really simple in that way, but in other ways, so complicated. When you're not sure what's going on, when you're not sure where to go next, this verse gives us an answer. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. That's the hard part. Because I don't know about you, but I often think I know better than God. I don't. But for some reason, time and time again, when something's happening, I decide that I know better and I have to humble myself and say, no, okay, God, yours is the best way. But when you don't know what to do next, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do and he will show you which path to take. It's when you stop relying on your own understanding that God reveals the path to take. So when you're in a situation where it doesn't make sense what God is doing, choose to trust him. Trust in the promises that God works all things together for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Trust that his ways are higher than your own. That's a big one. When it doesn't make sense, God, your ways are higher than my own. I don't understand it, but I trust that your ways are higher. Trust that God makes everything beautiful in its time. That's a great one to hold on to. When it looks ugly, when it looks like it's broken and there's no way forward, God makes everything beautiful in its time. But you know, as we continue through this verse, we can see even though Moses trusts God in this and he leads them into this place, we see that fear attacks the Israelites as the Egyptians come. It says in verse 10 to 12, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? Firstly, never be that person. When things go wrong, never be the person that says, didn't I tell you this would happen? That brings nothing good. There is nothing positive about being the person saying, I told you so. I knew this would happen. That is not a Christian way to live. Don't be that person in a team. Don't be that person in a relationship. That is not something that adds to the situation. And it said, Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Do you hear what they're saying? People who have been enslaved for hundreds of years are saying, take us back and put us in slavery again. Crazy words, crazy things to think. But when you get in, put in a corner and a situation where it looks like there's no way out, you start thinking crazy. You start doing crazy things. You start thinking that your old life before Jesus is better than what you're in now. You start thinking, I might go back to that thing. You know, maybe I'll just drink a little bit more alcohol again. That might just numb the pain a bit. That's better than where I am now. I might go back to that old habit because that's better than where I am now. You start thinking crazy when you're backed into a corner. And that's what they do. It actually is crazy to want to go back to slavery. They've got their freedom after hundreds of years and now they're saying, take us back, because they get filled with fear. We start thinking crazy when we get filled with fear. Let me tell you though, they had a reason to be fearful. Pharaoh kind of went a little crazy with it. He got 600 of their best chariots and all of the forces of Egypt, it says. Like, these aren't warriors that they're chasing after. These people have been enslaved. And he brings all the best. He brings the strongest because he wants to come and bring the best against them. So it was more than they could handle. It was way more than they could handle. There was no way they were going to win if they fought against them. That's why they were scared. Has anyone ever been in a situation where it was more than you can handle? I have. I've been in situations where I'm like, I can't handle this. This is too much for me. And what's your reaction? What's your reaction when you end up in one of those situations? Do you fight? Do you flight? Do you freeze? Are you filled with fear? You know, in the face of impossible odds, sometimes we do want to run back to those old things. But we need to choose in those situations. Recognize what's going on when you're filled with fear. Recognize how the devil will try to come and bring those things back in and say, hey, this is better. The devil will come and try to provide temporary relief but will bring permanent pain. It's just temporary. Those things are just temporary. But facing the fear, trusting in God is the permanent solution. You know, another really important question to ask yourself in these situations, when you're cornered, when you're in a situation where it seems like there's no way out, what are the other voices in your life saying? If you think yourself, put yourself in Moses' situation. Yes, he was a great man of God. Yes, he was hearing from the Lord, but he also saw the army coming. And I know he trusted God, but he had these voices in his ear saying, why did you bring us here? These people are like, we're going to die because of you. Why did you take us out of here? And in your life, when you're going through something hard, when you're going through a sickness, when you're going through an impossible situation, what are the voices in your life saying? What are your friends saying? Are they encouraging you? Are they drawing you towards God? Are they encouraging you to trust him more and believe that God is going to make a way? Or are they bringing you back down into the fear? Are they bringing you back down? I know it can feel good sometimes to just have someone to just, you know, there's a difference between encouraging and sympathizing and empathizing. But at some point, you need to stop and you need to stand and say, no, I stand against this thing. I'm not going to be a victim to this. I'm going to be a victor. And I believe that God is going to make a way in this situation. And so what are the voices in your life saying? Are they encouraging you to be a victim or are they encouraging you to be a victor? And sometimes we want the people to encourage us to be a victim. Sometimes it feels good to be like, yes, oh, you know, tell me how hard it is for me. Especially in this day and age, you know, we love being a victim is like a badge to put on. But we are not victims in Jesus. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors no matter what we face. No matter how bad it looks, we are more than conquerors. Can I have the band up on stage, please? It goes on in Exodus 14, 13 to 14. This is how Moses replies. This is important. This is practical to us. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. I want to encourage you tonight. The Lord is fighting for you. God is fighting for you. Whether you see it or not, God is fighting for you. Behind the scenes, when you don't feel it, when you don't see it, he is there. And he is working. Know that he is there. But the other thing it says is when it says, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. It makes me think of Psalm 46 verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I'll be honored throughout the world. When you're in a situation that feels impossible, you need to regularly stop, be still and know that he is God. Remember who your God is. Remember that your God is so much bigger than the enemy you face. Remember that your God is so much bigger than the sickness you face, than the financial situation you face, than the family or work situation you face. He is so much bigger. Maybe it takes every day. Maybe every day you need to sit down, be still, and know that He is God. He's not just this small thing on the side. He is God who created the whole universe. And we need to be still and know that He is God and that He is fighting for us. He's fighting for you, church. And whatever you face, He's fighting for you. And He will make a way where there is no way. You know, it's actually quite funny. It goes from that verse. So Moses says to the people, hey, just stand still and watch. And then it goes on to the next verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Isn't that funny? It's like He tells the people, stand still. And then God's like, what are you doing? Get moving. But I think what this is here is that, remember when I said before that it's when we trust God and we don't lean on our understanding that He shows us the path? I think it was in that moment that Moses said to the people, hey, watch God work. And a trust came and God's like, yeah, you trust me even when it looks impossible. Here's the path. Here's the action. It's when we put our trust in God that He'll show us the path. And don't get me wrong, He's not a God who just sits up there and goes, I'm going to test this person, you know, just for the fun of it. It's through these tests, it's through this trust that builds us up so that we can face the trials and the things that are down the line for us so that we can help others as well. In these moments, it's the trust that draws us closer to God. It's in the moment that Moses probably, who knows what was going through Moses' mind, but I know what he saw, a very large army coming towards him, and his response was, no, I trust you, God. You are fighting for us. And that's when God says, okay, now get moving. Raise up your staff. And He gives him the next instruction of what to do. And that's when we see the amazing part happen. And he goes up and he lifts his staff, and then the Red Sea, it splits, and they walk through and they get the victory. And it's amazing because what looked like an impossible situation with no solution, the solution was something no man would have ever thought of. You know, maybe God would have thought of, maybe a man would have thought of, like, boats are going to appear or something like that. Or, I don't know, we're going to find another way out. But God brings a supernatural solution to the situation. Let me tell you, whatever you're facing, you might not have even thought of the solution that God is going to bring. That's why it seems impossible. But God is a supernatural God. His ways are higher. He thinks outside of the world that we think of. And so don't doubt Him in those situations. Know that He is there. In a situation where it looked like they were all dead, it looked like all hope was lost, God literally made a way where there was no way. And they walked through. And then it finishes with this, Exodus 14, 29 to 31. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that God had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before Him. They put their faith in the Lord and in His servant Moses. God fulfilled the promise that He gave. God promised at the start, right at the start in the instructions, He said, I will receive the glory. I will take care of this. And God fulfilled His promise. And He will fulfill His promise to you as well. Whatever you face, God will come through. It might not look the way you think it will. It might not look even the way you think it should. But trust that God's ways are the best ways, that His ways are higher, that at the end of the day, that God will receive the glory. You know, the greatest story of this, of God making a way where there is no way, the greatest story of an unforeseen victory is we see Jesus on the cross. You know, Jesus came as the promised Messiah, and His followers are so excited that He's finally there. We've been waiting for Him for so long. He's going to come. He's going to rescue us. He's going to reign as King. And they're excited. They feel like they're now on the winning team. And then all of a sudden, one night, Jesus gets taken and put on a cross, and He dies. And in that moment, there's a sense of defeat. We thought He was going to be the one that was going to save us, but now He's dead. The ultimate defeat is death. There's no way back from that. And in that moment, the devil thinks that he has won. The devil thinks, I've killed him. I've won. But let me encourage you, church. I've seen time and time again, as the devil comes to attack, he overplays his hand. The devil, he overplays his hand. When he thinks he's won, he just creates an opportunity for God to come in and bring a victory and bring a way. Because in that moment when Jesus died, he defeated death. Death, where is your sting? When 3 days later, Jesus rose again, he defeated the power of death forever. Where the devil thought he had a victory, God just saw it as an opportunity to bring ultimate glory. And tonight, we have victory over every circumstance we face. Let me tell you, even in situations of life and death, you know, I know that in some of the, we pray for people sometimes with terminal sicknesses and it doesn't go the way that we want it to. But God has victory in life and in death. It's not just in life, it's in death as well. God has the ultimate victory. And so we can be encouraged no matter what happens. God is working. We can trust in Him. We can put our full trust in Him. And so right now, can we stand across this place? You know, across this place, I just want to give an opportunity to anyone who hasn't made Jesus their Lord and Savior here tonight. With every eye closed in this place, if you haven't made that decision to give your life to God and you want to, let me tell you, it's the best decision you could ever make. You know, we've been talking tonight about the struggles that we face and life with God and life as a Christian. It's not without any struggles. It doesn't mean that life is just going to be easy. But let me tell you, it's a lot easier with God. It's a lot easier with God. And so if you're in this place and you haven't said yes to Jesus and you want to do this with every eye closed, would you just lift your hand right now so I know who I'm praying for? Is there anyone here who would lift their hand? I see your hand in the middle. That's awesome. That's so good. That's the best decision you could ever make. Is there anyone else? As I look across, I see a hand at the back. That's amazing. That's so good. Is there anyone else as I look around? Anyone else who wants to say yes to Jesus tonight? So good. Well, church, can we pray together? Repeat this after me. And if you're one of those two that raised your hand, I really want you to pray this from your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my whole life. Lord, forgive me, my sins, and how I've lived. But from this day forward, I want to live for you in your ways. God, I thank you for the cross. Thank you that you sent your Son so that I can be set free from sin and from shame. And I give you praise and glory for my salvation in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can we just celebrate those two people? So good.